you know, 10 minutes to 3, but I thought, some fudgy there.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Oh, that's okay. Well, we'll get started. Thank you, everyone. We will call to order this Board of Commissioners meeting.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. And the first thing we do in this meeting is start with a prayer reading or thought. That is today by volunteer. And same with leading us in the pledge. Do I have volunteer for either of those? Okay, I've got Lisa Shepherd will do the pledge. Do I have anybody willing to start us with Ezra? Okay, thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to come meet together and discuss the needs of the county. We're thankful for the spirit of public discourse and the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. We ask that thy spirit might be with us as we deliberate our business, and we're very grateful for that protection. We ask that those who are out in the elements right now, that they will be able to find warmth and be protected as well, and arrive to their destination safely. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, it's my pleasure to read, if you will, and introduce our Employee of the Month for January of January 2024. I always wonder if these individuals know that they're the Employee of the Month, or if they've been hoaxed. And I'm seeing the assessor shaking his hand. So it's obviously from the assessor's office. And so Richard Smith is our Employee of the Month. So, Richard, you would be terrible in investigations, so we're glad you're in the assessor's office, because if you didn't, you know, look around and figure out, and not that you knew, because you're probably around many other qualified individuals, but let me read some of the things that your nominees sent into the committee that nominated you. Let's see here. Richard is a spectacular and understanding supervisor. He also worked in the office during the entire COVID pandemic, even though he had permission to work from home. He chose to come in. He has such a fun and helpful personality. He's always happy and cheerful, creating the kind of work environment where fellow employees actually look forward to coming to work every day. Richard is motivated and works hard. If he is asked a question that he isn't quite sure about, he will go the extra mile and find the answer. He will research and do the legwork and find the answer. He was hired as a supervisor in the assessor's office during a very busy time, and rather than being timid or sit back and wait to learn over time, he jumped right in and started answering phone calls from taxpayers who frequently call in with off-the-wall questions, and he did so in a very professional manner. Richard has been a lightning speed learner. Part of his job is to help with Greenbelt inquiries, and he's been a tremendous asset to the assessor's office in this capacity. He deals with some very unpleasant taxpayers at times, and he does this with such pleasantness that even though the taxpayer came in with a chip on their shoulder, they leave with a smile on their face. No one can come into the assessor's office without feeling happy, happy spirit that is within that office because of Richard's bright personality. He's always willing and able to answer almost every question pertaining to the assessor's office. He's extremely knowledgeable, and the assessor's office is much better work environment because of Richard Smith. And then there was some other comments. We frequently send taxpayers to Richard for assistance because we know he is available, willing, and has the knowledge base to help. So with that, Richard, we congratulate you and invite you up here. You're willing to say anything if you'd like. And And then we'll get a picture with you after, and then we'll have some certificates and some goodies for you.
I don't have a lot to say, really. Just thank you. Thank you all for, because sometimes maybe I don't see myself that way. So thank you all for kind of noticing those things. So that's all I have really to say.
Okay, we'll come down and get a picture with you.
Right here.
Yeah.
Is this, we expect this to be on your
Christmas
card next year too?
No. Okay, I'm gonna call first.
You ready? One, two, three. One, two, three.
Okay, and the first one.
One, two, three.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it was like in our city council meeting when the Cub Scouts got bored and left as the assessor's office exited.
Yeah, I was watching it. The room is gone now.
Yeah. Before we build our consent agenda item, we do have a public hearing on the agenda. Did I see Ralph?
Yeah.
Ralph, did you have anything you wanted to bring us up to speed or give us an idea of what we're doing in the public hearing?
Sure.
Were you prepared to do that?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that before we go into public hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
Or be now.
Yeah. Yes, please.
So one of the items on the agenda is to look at the elected official salaries and to, you know, consider an increase. We, you know, we have an ordinance that we follow, which essentially states that we'll look at it annually and we'll establish a rate, you know, based upon the four largest counties in the state that we, you know, compete with, essentially. I guess you could say compete with. And that's what I've done. And so I have essentially made a recommendation that the elected officials in Utah County do need a salary increase. It's found that on average, we're about 21% under market compared to the other counties. And this is Washington, you know, Davis, Weber, and Salt Lake County. We're still less than Salt Lake County in some, you know, cases by a fair amount, but at least we're, you know, competing on a, you know, average, you know, basis with all the counties, if that makes sense. So the recommendation is on the agenda. There's essentially a ratio that we look at as well, you know, based upon the county attorney, because it's the highest paid in all the counties. It seems to be the most, you know, consistent way to make that make that evaluation. So the other elected offices are essentially a ratio of that. And again, that's what is on the agenda. We have tried, you know, philosophically as a county to keep the employees at market as much as possible. So we've worked on that over the last, you know, few years. We have, I think, been successful. We haven't been as successful with the elected officials. So, you know, hopefully this is going to get us, you know, to a place where we are going to do this every year, and it's not going to be a shock and it's not going to be a large amount. It'll be something that we just slowly move along with and stay up with the market. Again, our, you know, philosophy is to not lead the market, to be at market and not fall way behind. I think I'll stop there and just see if you have any questions.
No, I appreciate the clarification. The is my understanding, like in Salt Lake County, the elected recorder makes almost as much as the attorney. And so your thought process of the attorney being at the top in this ratio, and then the sheriff's a percentage of that, and then the commission, and then the other elected officials, because there's 11 total elected officials. And I just appreciate that thought process. I know when I came on last year and hired my assistant, Ralph helped me, you know, with how we, you know, figure out pay and do this. And it's not easy when you're an elected official, but it is for all the elected officials. And I appreciate the work that you've done there. So Any questions for Ralph at this point?
No, it's a process we have followed almost, I think, every year that I've been here. So I appreciate the depth and that you've been pursuing this. And it, to me, it seems to be working. There is a sticker shock because sometimes the increases are higher than normally would be expected, but we're trying to get it up to where it's supposed to be. So I can appreciate that perspective. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that it pulls politics out of it, that the policy pulls politics out of it. In the past, previous commissions in years past had punished one elected official and not others. And I like that you come back with a recommendation that has a mathematical equation that makes logical sense and that you've pulled the politics out of it. So thank you.
Of course. Yeah, just also, you know, to speak to, you know, the sticker shock, for example, is we have worked every year, like I said, with the employees to make sure they are at market, you know, by the end of the year. And again, we haven't had that opportunity with the elected officials for a variety of reasons. And during, as you know, I don't have to tell you this, the you know, the cost of labor has gone up, you know, 17% just in the last 2 years. And that doesn't include, you know, 2021. So there is a significant lag in the elected official pay for Utah County. And we're really just trying to get to where it should be, to be fair. It's really just a matter of fairness. So,
also highlight that we also have an agenda item with the employees.
Correct. Right? Yeah, we are recommending
at the same time as as the rest of the employees, and looking at that. I appreciate the thoughtful manner of that as well.
Okay.
Okay. If there's no other questions, I would entertain a motion to go into public hearing.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Okay. Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, is there anyone that would like to speak to this? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to go out of public
motion
hearing.
Motion to close public hearing.
Okay. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we're now back in regular session. let's build our consent agenda item, if that's okay, and then we'll come back to our work session.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything from items 1 through 10?
Nope.
Number 4, I think have covered, so I don't know if we needed additional language in that, unless the body wants to go further into it.
I'm good with it as is.
Yeah, I don't know if it was sort of out of order having our comments be during that, but, you know, anticipating public comment and not seeing any.
I haven't seen any, so I'm happy with 1 through 10 as they are.
Okay, 1 through 10 are good. And then 11 through, let's go through 19.
19.
Nope. I'm good.
You're good.
And 13, of course, has to do with compensation for the Utah County Justice Court judges for the year 2024, mm-hmm. specifically to them. Mm-hmm. And item 14 is for the employees effective for period number 3 this year for a labor increase.
Yeah.
So I don't have any challenges or comments beyond what we've had read ahead of time on this topic.
Okay. Thank you. And then we will hold closed session 20 and strike 21, 22, and 23. Okay.
Can you read it back?
Please.
This is an easy one.
Yeah.
So all the regular agenda items have been approved on consent. And then as far as the closed meetings, we're going to hold as stated 20, and we're striking 21, 22, and 23.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we'll work into our work session presentation by the Utah County Sheriff's Office Victim Services Program. Thank you.
Hello. So I want to give some context to this presentation.
Will you tell Alice? Oh. We know who you are, but just for the record.
Christiana Wagstaff.
Thank you.
Yes. So we receive state funding in a grant for our victim services program. And as part of that grant requirement, we have to present in front of our governing board twice a year. And that's you lovely folks. So I'm here today to present on our first 6 months of our program thus far. So to go over it, I do want to leave with you knowing who we are and what we do. So it just kind of go a little bit more in depth. So our mission is to committed to advocating for and supporting victims as they navigate the aftermath of crime, offering empathy and respect throughout the process. Pretty chunky, but we're big on that. It's important. We work a 9-to-5 schedule, a 40-hour full week schedule, and we rotate an on-call 24 schedule every other week. We rotate every week, excuse me. And that's for high lethality cases and death cases that we're called out to.
Okay.
We cover where the Utah County Sheriff's Office covers as we are under them. We also contract Salem and Santa Quinn City as well. Our program funding, so the majority of our budget comes from the Utah County Sheriff's Office investigations budget. So when you fund them, you fund us. So it's pretty exciting. Again, we have that state grant. It used to be VOCA, but we moved to the new Victim Services state. We were chosen because we do such great work to have that. So it's an honor to have that.
Is there a difference between the two programs?
Yeah, absolutely. VOCA is a federal funded.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then the state funding that was part of the legislation last time, they created a pot of money for Victim Services specifically.
So it's a separate pot from?
From VOCA.
VOCA then. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. And then we also contract again with Santa Quinn, Salem, Vineyard, and Eagle Mountain. Mm-hmm. So our numbers for the first 6 months, as you can see on the left, these are our categories of the services that we provide. And to give you some context, the information and referral, we proactively pull police reports and we will call the listed victim on the report and offer services and safety plan and assist them with protective orders, whatever they're needing and that they qualify for. We connect them with the Refuge, which is our nonprofit domestic violence agency in the county. We talk about court process quite a bit, a lot of questions, and victim rights is big on what we do as well. So the personal advocacy, we do transportation. We will take someone in for a strangulation exam with the Wasatch Forensic Nurses. We assist with intervention if a school or a landlord or their employment of a victim is going to be impacted by this crime, we can advocate on that victim's behalf to try to see if they can give a little leeway what we can do. The emotional support and safety services, we do a lot of crisis intervention, a lot of safety planning. The emergency funds is part of the state grant, and so far we've spent $1,743, and that is lock changes and emergency hotels and food for victims. Well, we can cut them up with food stamps or a food bank. We also do the high lethality protocol with law enforcement. So again, when they respond, they'll do a questionnaire, and then if the victim scores high risk for lethality, they immediately call a victim advocate, and we will talk to the victim about immediate safety, protective orders, if they need a hotel. And if they do and don't have transportation, we will transport as well. The criminal civil justice system, we file civil protective orders, such as stalking injunctions, the cohabitant protective order. They will come into our office and we will file with them. We will then send it to the courts and we will also prep them for the hearings and connect them to community resources for representation at the hearings. And we also help them apply for Crime Victims Reparation Fund through the Utah Office of Victims of Crime. And their mission is to minimize any financial impact of a crime. So it's a pretty great resource. So we have served 518 victims in the 6 months so far of this year. As you can see, our highest is domestic violence at 295. And then we also have, child sexual abuse cases at 61. And stalking is the third highest at 31.
Out of curiosity, is there a distinction between the care that's being provided to the younger age group?
Yes, so we partner with the Children's Justice Center, who's specifically focused for the younger child sexual assault cases.
So there's a distinction on who's being supported by whom then?
Yes, okay. We will co-support if they need that additional support. Our office handles mostly in-depth services with the adult sexual assaults.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. But we do assist. The child went through the court process because the Children's Justice Center does not have criminal advocates that can help through the court process or explain those. So that's where we come in.
Good. Thank you.
And so I wanted to provide some case examples. I'm going to be very light. We're not going to talk about factual bases or details of the crime, but I do want you to kind of have an idea of the cases that we work. And so the state of Utah versus DG. So he was charged with forcible sex abuse on March 19th, 2021. I sat in on the victim's law enforcement interview and worked with her through five sets of prosecutors, countless continuances, numerous breakdowns, and 33 months later stood next to her while she gave her victim impact statement on December 11th, 2023. The defendant ended up taking a plea to 364 days in county jail, $1,193 in fines, and 36 months probation. He will also be on the sex offender registry for 10 years. So a powerful quote from the victim that she has given me permission to share is, "I was raped by someone I once considered to be my best friend. How could someone I love and trusted do something so harmful and dehumanizing?" So these cases have very big impacts on the victims, as you can see. The second case is an aggravated sexual abuse of a child. Four counts of that, two counts of sodomy on a child. The advocate in the case provided the mom and daughter with assistance in connecting to therapy and other resources, validation, and assistance in navigating the DCFS and county attorney's office. She also read the victim's impact statement at the sentencing as the victim asked her to. Sometimes it can be really difficult. Those victims are in the process of writing a book on their experience and starting a support group, so we're pretty excited about that. And lastly, it is the state of Utah versus NA. He was charged with three counts of aggravated DV assault, assault, and unlawful detention. He took a plea in that case to two aggravated DV assaults. He took 150 days in jail, credit for 111 served, 48 months probation, and a $786 fine. There was a permanent criminal protective order put in that case as well. Shortly after his release, he was rearrested and charged with rape, object rape, aggravated kidnapping, tampering with a witness, seven counts of violating that criminal protective order, three new aggravated domestic violence assaults, another domestic violent assault with substantial bodily injury, and attempted possession of a deadly weapon by a restricted person, and lastly, a threat of violence. So as part of the violation of his probation, he was then, after many court hearings and arguments and working with the victim in that case, he was given his original suspended sentence of 2 to 30, 2 years, up to 30. And the second case is still ongoing. So we'll see what that results from. But it's a lot of work. But so on a lighter note, I do want to share our program goals with you, our hopes and dreams. We have a psychiatric service dog in training. His name is Remy. We are really excited to have him. We're going to look at doing a volunteer program, community coordination, and a program evaluation. So I'm just going to briefly run through those. With Remy, we hope that he will learn how to put body weight on a victim when he notices signs of anxiety. They can actually train dogs to do that, which is pretty cool. He can lick a hand of someone to get them back in the moment, grounding techniques. We're really excited about it. And we can train him to sit on the stand with a child victim while they give testimony. So,
I have a son who has a service dog that does that.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And we plan on fundraising for the funds to fully train him. It's pretty pricey. Our volunteer program. So I've done a lot of research and looked at a lot of different victim services programs who run volunteer programs. And it's quite fascinating how successful they are. And I know we like to do more with less. And so I would love to start a volunteer program for victim services. It's something that we're in the works of looking at. Because these cases are very time consuming. And with VOCA, VOCA was cut 40% and we actually lost a full-time position. So we would love to see volunteers. So we plan on recruiting, training, supporting all of that stuff. You look like you have a question.
To that point, the VOCA loss, this is, I think, the third year I've been hearing this. Not necessarily all of them at one time, of course, but I'm concerned that this VOCA loss is increasing. So we we really need to start considering replacement funding in due course on this thing.
And what VOCA is, it's a victim, I just went completely blind, Victims of Crime Act. And so it takes its funding from federal fines from offenders, and that's what funds that program.
Yeah. And so when we lose those funds, that's what I'm concerned about. We have a gap.
It's devastating.
And so we have to keep that in mind in the coming months.
Why the cut from the funding? Is it going to... less prosecution?
Politically matters on who gets to make those calls. And so that's why it's always moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you.
It's the child as well as the adult level issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And it's a federal program that was cut.
From all of it. But that's why the state decided to step in. And
they sure did. They stepped up.
Right.
It's pretty great.
Understood.
Yeah. So our office partners with the Utah County Attorney's Office Victim Coordinators. They handle all of the Class A and higher, Class A misdemeanor and felony cases. And so we'll work with them initially. Usually they're the high lethality cases that we get first contact with. And so we'll connect them with the coordinators so there's not a gap in services. And they'll support in the court side, but we'll still support in the community resources, the validation, all of those things. We'll still even attend hearings sometimes because you get really close and it's emotional. And we partner with the Refuge, which again is a community-based advocacy. They have the shelter, the domestic violence shelter in the county, and they have a housing program, which is amazing. They can assist with relocating somebody very quickly, and I've had them cut a check the same day, so it's been really great to work with them. Utah Legal Services, they do the representation for victims at protective order hearings free of charge. They have a grant fund for that. Timpanogos Legal Center can look over like divorce paperwork, things like that, give free legal advice. So we work really close with always safety, confidentiality, and sustainability in mind. So that's been going really well. And then lastly, we want to do a survey. We want to make sure that our services are as good as they can get. And if not, we're going to get better all the time. We're actually in the process of working with Utah Valley University to do a survey to help us create one that we will be able to pull data from and then adjust our services accordingly.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And that is it. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for your support, and I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Was it a arm wrestle to decide who gets to hang out with Remy the most? I saw Remy walk in.
He goes home with me.
He goes home with you.
Okay. He goes home with me.
Okay. Gotcha. I see. Let's see who won the arm wrestle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now is the moment where we have public comment. Is there anyone that would like to address the commission during public comment? Okay, seeing none, we will go into closed session. Thank you, everyone.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.